The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live off the record with Chicago Lines, brought to you in part by Fidelity Bank, Burger King, and Royal Star Assurance. If you feel like you make the same
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lines, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I am not sure what happened or what technical challenges were facing us. I don't know. I'm starting to wonder if I should change the topics I'm talking about because ever since it's been little fishy. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I don't believe anybody is doing anything at all to me, but I'm just joking in case some of y'all decide to take that somewhere. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My apologies for the delay. If at all during the course of the show you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. That's the main my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So I'm going to give you some numbers today at some point during the show. I am going to give you some numbers so that you have a picture of a situation in the country that has to be addressed over time to change the quality of life enjoyed by Bahamians. But I'm going to give you those numbers when I take up a matter related to the Speaker of the House of Assembly. And let me begin by saying, as normally I try to do, I did catch a bit of my good friend and colleague, Brother Juan McCartney's show, when he spoke of this issue of the speaker. And I agree with Brother Juan in particular that what the situation is with the speaker in terms of resignation, no resignation, in terms of removal, no removal, is in fact a debatable issue for sure. There's no question about it. You can debate the issue because in some ways it is not so clear what is possible or not possible. But let me say this, the Constitution of the Bahamas does make provision for the removal of the Speaker under certain circumstances. And the Constitution of the Bahamas prescribes what that is that can be done. Those are prescriptions for what can be done. But the Constitution does not do is it doesn't say if you do this to remove the speaker, you are wrong in law. It doesn't say that. So for instance, the Constitution does not say the speaker cannot be removed by a vote of no confidence. The Constitution doesn't say that. And so there is something, a legal provision called the General Power of Competence. And the General power of competence kind of says, like, if a thing is not prohibited, it is allowable. Okay, so the law doesn't say it can't be done. Like, for instance, there's no law that says I can't eat a rock. No law. So I cannot be charged or convicted for eating a rock. There is no law in the Bahamas against, for instance, having extramarital affair. There's no law against it. None whatsoever. Okay? And so under the law, these things are allowable. Now, you can argue the ethical, moral, and other positions of it, but the law, you can't be convicted for those things. Okay? So long as the law does not prohibit it, there is no preach in doing it. That's what the general power of competence kind of invokes. Okay? Now, here's where the problem with removing the speaker comes up against a very practical issue. Very practical issue that puts the notion of being unable to move the speaker squarely as a matter of reality. To move the speaker by a vote of no confidence, you have got to stand up in the House of Assembly and say, Mr. Speaker, I wish to move a motion of no confidence in you. And the speaker could say, well, but I am not accepting that motion. And no, there is nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Right? And so in practical terms, you can't move the speaker because the speaker first has to accept your motion to even take it to a vote. Secondly, the reason why the Constitution and the constructs, most constitutions do not prescribe a means to remove the speaker. Most do not, okay? Even in the United States Constitution, it is widely accepted that you can remove the speaker. There's no question about it. You can, okay? In the Westminster system, we've heard about the challenges of doing so, but it's not impossible to do so, okay? It's challenging. There's no question about it. But I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Research Corporation advises customers across New Providence, including North, Central, Eastern, and Southern New Providence, that due to an emergency leak repair at the Hydro Tower scheduled to commence at 12:45 p.m. today, customers may experience no water for a one-hour duration. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
Do you have paper investments like stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, but are unsure if you're reaching your highest earning potential? Get your investment portfolio assessed by an experienced RF investment specialist. You'll get expert investment guidance at absolutely no cost, even if you're not an RF client. Plus, find out how you can take advantage of some of the best performing mutual funds in the market. What are you waiting for? Claim your free confidential portfolio analysis today by emailing invest@rfmoon.com. RF, money at work.
Babe, you marsh the car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady who run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So glad you could. you think something going on in the background for real now? Maybe I am gonna be a conspiracy theorist on this one a little later on. Anyways, I was making the point that it may be very difficult in the Westminster system to do so, to remove a speaker, but it's not impossible to do so. It's not impossible. It's difficult, but not impossible. Even if people take extraordinary means to do so, it's not impossible to do so. But the reason why it is made extremely difficult to do so, because the convention is not only the convention, well, the act of a convention is that in hiring a speaker, a parliament knows what it's doing. It takes the time to get unanimous consent between the government and the opposition, which means a divided house unanimously decides on the speaker. That's why you have the government member moves for the nominating of the person as speaker, and the opposition member move for the seconding that says that there is a unanimous consent on this vote and we are agreed. And so you the general view is you are hiring a gentleman, a person of reason, a person who understands the norms of the parliament, who accepts that I am the unanimous consent person of this parliament to be speaker, to be able to preside over it, and so forth. And so therefore, you would expect that if the unanimous or the majority no longer wishes that person to be speaker, the person would say, as a gentleman and as a reasonable soul, you know what, given that I don't enjoy the majority support on either side, I am going to surrender myself. They have no obligation to do so, but they can do so knowing they no longer enjoy that level of support. Now, given the difficulty of removing a speaker, given the speaker's role in governing the Parliament of the Bahamas and supposedly doing so in fairness to both sides, allowing for both sides to be able to function without undue and unreasonable judgments on the behalf of the speaker, is there any wonder that no party other than in a near election where the vote was tied between the two major parties, that they both decided on an independent speaker as the only means for ensuring that both sides may get an independent hearing? But since that time, is there any wonder that every party that has ever won the governance of the country has ensured that one of its members is the speaker? You think that's accidental? No, of course it's not. How would you want to have a speaker who is supposed to be fair as government, but is now unfair to you? Okay, you don't want the speaker to be unfair to the opposition, but what if you have a speaker who's now unfair to you? Now, Harrison Moultrie resigned the FNM, having come unto his post only because he was an FNM. He would not have been the speaker had he not been FNM, and the FNM won the government. I hardly believe he'd have been speaker if the PLP had won the government. And now, in this new dispensation of freedom he feels, the things you are doing, which you say were unconstitutional, that you say would make the parliament work better, when you were in your glory with the governing party, you did not do. You now are deciding to do it, and these are things anybody knows could, I didn't say would, but could work against the government. Why? Why make these moves now after you withdraw yourself from the FNM and the FNM told you you would not be its candidate in your constituency? Is that fairness at work? I hear people hollering about he's restored the Public Accounts Committee. Restored what? But what would he restore? The Public Accounts Committee is today what it... No, sorry. the Public Accounts Committee is today what it was before. But Juan McCartney is absolutely right that he has been able to restore some powers of that committee that the...
Did you know that $5 can get you delicious combos fit for a king? Well, it can, but only at Burger King Nassau. Not only is the big in-flavor flame-grilled Whopper Jr. combo you love available for just $5, but now you can enjoy a crispy chicken junior sandwich topped with bacon plus fries and a drink for only $5 as well. At Burger King Nassau, you get to choose between a chicken BLT or flame-grilled beef in two great combos that include fries and a drink for only $5, including VAT. Value has a new home at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Don't let your children get left behind. Get them immunized. They need immunizations to protect them from some diseases, to get into school, and to apply for some jobs. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider to make an immunization appointment today. Protect their health and their future. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Let's prevent disease. Immunize, please. This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
When King Hatchet was a hammer, customs clearance was a drag. Those numbers and forms left you holding the bag. But today is a new day. There's no need to fear. Start clearing customs digitally with SWIM software. The best customs clearance software by ISL Bahamas Limited. It's easy. Just give SWIM your invoices and it automatically calculates landed fees, assigns tariffs, and transmits accurately to customs in seconds. Now, completing air manifests and cargo calculations in half the time is as fun as a day at the beach. Brokers, importers, shippers, couriers, are you drowning in an ocean of customs clearance mayhem? Relax and dive into SWIM. Call 356-5592 or visit ISLBahamas.com to start saving time and money with SWIM, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim, swim.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Gentlemen, to Z Live, I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday, trying Thursday afternoon. Since the internet is having some issues, so we have had to resort now to hopefully a more stable landline situation, a line situation. Hopefully that helps. And we will be okay. Just checking back. The speaker said, my producer says, I'm better. I don't like better. I don't like better. I want to give these folks a good sound because I don't want them to have to struggle to hear.
So I don't know. Let's see what we can do to get really good. Okay, am I good?
Am I good now? Let me know. Anybody? Am I good? The producer says I'm good. All right. Well, let's hope that lasts for a while. Anyways, I was talking a bit about the speaker, House and Moultrie. And I think that House and Moultrie has done some disservice to the office. Thank you. Somebody says I'm good. Yeah, thank you, Brother McCartney. I'm good. Thanks. Done some disservice to the office in some of the ways he has behaved himself. His interest in an independent parliament is a well and nobly placed interest, I have to say. An independent parliament makes good sense. And all the traditions and norms in the democratic tradition, it seeks to have independence of the parliament from the executive, from the judiciary, so that the city, the country, the citizens benefit from that independence. But this last iteration of Mr. Moultrie, I'm sorry, in his explanation about why he resigned his membership in the FNM, I don't buy these recent movements of his in relation to the parliament and trying to have it, in quote, become more independent. I can't argue that they are things that can achieve some good, but in motives, I am questioning that. You know, let me tell you something. There is no question that the Minister administration sought to micromanage the parliament. No question about it. No question about it. There are things that the parliament should be able to do without reference to the executive. I mean, for its own functioning. There's no question about that. And so the Minister administration did try to micromanage him. But Mr. Moultrie made that micromanagement worse by his conduct and behavior. Okay? And so on the one hand, you had a situation that could have been handled better by the executive, but it would have been hard to convince an executive to handle it better given the behavior of the speaker. Okay, you have to have more, you have to be able to exercise more prudence and judgment in understanding the dynamics of the circumstance in which you exist in order to be able to get things done that you need to get done. And then as if this was a speaker who didn't belong to the governing side. I mean, this was the person who went to parliamentary caucuses, who went to parliamentary meetings, who sat on the executive committee of the Free National Movement, who went to the Central Council. He was a speaker. You sit the prime minister down, you could talk to the prime minister. And of course, I mean, I know the prime minister could be difficult and challenging at times, but the point is, I think that both sides handled this badly. And now we have a situation where the government is not going to try to remove the speaker. Be sure of that. They're not going to try to do so because it's hard to do so. Either the speaker already showed you, I am not cooperating with you no more. I left your party. I'm not cooperating with you no more. So the government now has to go do its business. And if I'm the government of the Bahamas, what do I do? I am going to just do the business of the people. Bring good bills. Bring good bills to the parliament. The several bills now being put before the parliament, the public debt, the statistics bills, they are reasonable bills. I've been able to examine some, the fiscal, the public debt one and responsibility ones and so forth, and been able to look at those extensively. They have good provisions. I have my observations about them. We'll talk about those another time. But bring the bills that make a difference to the Bahamian people. If the speaker acts in a way that is offensive, unfair, people will see, and they will see. They'll know, and then they'll make their own judgments. You can't move him. But he can, and he should not, interfere with the normal, appropriate functioning of the parliament out of spite or anything else. And if he does, we will all be able to see. And you could be sure we will all be watching. I know none of my colleagues that host these shows are afraid to talk to the speaker, the prime minister, the leader of the opposition, or any of them in respect of their conduct or behavior. And so we're able to see whether you're being fair or unfair. So no need for the speaker to be asked to resign or be any attempt be made to remove him. Maybe on Saturday, if that's the position he wants to take, I ain't moving and ain't nobody can move me. No problem. Do your job then. Do your job. Here's my bill. Here's my motion. No problem. Here's my resolution. And move on. And this ain't the last very long, no, because the government's in the election. You could be sure of that. And after the election, House and Moultrie will be no more. I mean, that's the reality. He would not be ran by the government, and he will not be ran by the opposition. There will be a new speaker. There's no question about that. Whatever the turnout of the election is. So for whatever months are left in this term, and I say months because I believe the election will happen real soon, he will be history. So why bother? Why fight it? Why do anything to trouble him? Just move on. Carry on with your business. As I suspect the government will do anyway. But look at it. Look at these happenings. Look at these strange happenings that extend beyond the conventions and what have you. And I don't think that any move will be made to prescribe in law any additional means to remove a speaker. Let me tell you why. You don't make laws to, in too many instances, govern the improbable. Over the 200-year history of the Parliament of the Bahamas, we have not had to deal with a speaker who has felt a certain kind of way and has sought to be this kind of way beyond the gentlemanly-like conduct that one expects in a speaker or lady-like conduct you expect in a speaker over many years. So you like, regard this as a once-in-a-blue-moon kind of thing, and yes, maybe if he was even worse, it could have been really problematic, but I don't think you should move your whole institution for a blip in your convention. Now, if this starts, the people start to kick up and start to fuck up. Now, mind you, Dr. Kendall, the last speaker. For some reason, I have a roadblock, a mind block with respect to his surname at the moment. Forgive me, sir. But he, too, started to have some words and act in ways that may have been Dr. Kendall Major. Act in ways that were on the periphery of the norms of the behavior and conduct of the speaker. Because let's be clear now. Did anybody believe Sir Milo Butler was a speaker not interested in the well-being of the Progressive Liberal Party in government? Anybody believe that? Please. Did anybody believe that Sir Clifford Darling was anything but interested in the well-being of the PLP while he was a speaker? Please. That Atalia Johnson was anywhere disinterested in the well-being of the Free National Movement while she was a speaker? That Alvin Smith was not interested in the FNN's well-being while he was the speaker, and that Kendall Major wasn't interested in the BLP's well-being while he was in power, or that the BLP wasn't interested or the FNN wasn't interested in their speakers being interested in their well-being? Does that mean that they couldn't be fair? Absolutely not. The whole Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Sir Lyndon Pinellas, Hubert Ingraham, Terry Christie, and now Dr. Hubert Minnis, they are all partisan party leaders. They were PLPs and FNMs. And we still expect that they act on behalf of the entire country. This isn't untrue anywhere in the world. So you can have your party's interest and still be fair. I saw Alvin Smith have to take stances in which I think on the one occasion Carl Bethel was the subject of his ruling, and it was not something which the party may have felt very kindly about, but Mr. Smith made the judgment. I've seen Natalia Johnson do the very same thing as Speaker. They all have to straddle this notion of being fair, but at the same time, understanding my party is in government. And that's the reason why I got here. So I don't know what it is that Mr. Moultrie thinks he can bring about, but it would be better if the system examined itself and sought to bring about these changes such that you have a speaker who gets to determine who the leader with actually, and does have and can have a real say in what happens in the parliament. I do not disagree with that. But I don't agree with your judgments being enlightened by your personal misfortunes or fortunes. I don't believe in that. I think that's a little bit. I mean, we all, when we are in office, when we are in our groupings, we don't have no question. I don't even know why people even think it's a strange thing. In my family, I am biased to my family. I am. If I can avoid doing something that affronts them, with my friends, same thing. With my university with whom I work, same thing. Why would I want to do something that publicly affronts them? But by the same token, that doesn't mean that I can't exercise judgments of fairness, etc. It doesn't mean that sometimes I don't do things that may be an affront. You know, but it isn't something that you would want to do as any intentional thing on any continuous thing at all. And so now we have in the speaker someone who belongs where? To no party, he says. And what does that mean now? The job he had before is the job he has now. And if he wasn't in the job right before, why you start doing it right now? I believe things should change. I believe that systems should change. I believe they should be looked at and amended for improvements always. But I think that we ought to do these things in ways that invite the kind of dialogue and buy-in that allows the broader population to accept and move for those changes. Now, if you remove a speaker from his seat, especially, you know, because a speaker is always at a disadvantage when with respect to his constituency, when in the seat, you know, always. Why? Because a speaker generally can't participate in debates, can't participate in votes, so his constituents don't get to see him perform as a member of parliament in the place where he is, in fact, a member of parliament in the traditional ways of a legislator. He is the speaker. This is one of the reasons why the government tries to take an especial effort to take care of the speaker's constituency, because the government understands that the speaker is unable, because of his role, to be the kind of member of parliament that others should and can be. So you try to take care of the speaker. The speaker has an issue with his role. You try to take care of that. The speaker has an issue with his party. You try to take care of that. He has an issue with his constituents and certain things that concerns them. You take care of it because you don't want the speaker to be at a disadvantage in that way. And so, you know, what has gone wrong here is just a total relationship breach, and it reflects reflects the leadership skills of both the speaker and the leader of the government. Both. It reflects that they had not the capacity to manage this relationship for the benefit of their individual institutions and now of their party. And that's unfortunate. We have a text here, who had more stronghold than Hubert Ingraham? Lang, the FNM members don't play the same as PLP. Only Leslie Miller seems to be making any noise because he was not nominated. I must give Peter T his props. He is a real team player. To me, it appears that Mr. Moultrie's timing is self-serving and is reminded of the time of PLP Cabinet Minister Halfway resigned after directing the judiciary. His text says, unfortunately, the speaker's style seems hard-headed and bully-type. On one hand, he did the FNM a favor. On the other hand, a disservice. The honorable thing to do was completely resign, says that text. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to take a break for the news. You're listening to Shivago Line here on ZLive. When we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after this news break.
Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road. I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to ZLive. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Just before I move on, let me read a couple of texts. It says the speaker's recent actions should be are exactly why independent candidates will bring the changes that we have been blocked from benefiting from for so long. It's refreshing and encouraging to us who are looking forward to a new day in a new Bahamas. Well, good luck with that when you and your independent candidates get in. I would be quite interested to see how many of you get your deposits back, the independent candidates. Not because I think you're not good candidates or they won't be good candidates, but because I live in the Bahamas with that has a history. That has a history of not allowing Dr. Bernard Nottage, an esteemed personality in the Bahamas, to get his deposit back. Not permitting Brandon McCartney so to do, who was a big personality and so forth. But so good luck with that. Some of y'all forget, though. You know, some of y'all are so uninformed about your own history that you don't even know some things. So let me give you some enlightenment. And any number of you who followed the news and who were part of the media would know. Hubert Alexander Ingraham, under his tenure, took very seriously the notion of a opposition day in Parliament. So much so that when the opposition, there was standard days, and when the opposition put questions, we, as cabinet ministers, had to go and prepare those answers. We had to go and visit each answer collectively in the cabinet for its accuracy. And if it were not adequate enough, Ingraham used to say, carry it back and go, this is serious. We have a duty to answer the opposition in the parliament. And if the
Public Accounts Committee was seeking to carry out its duty and was having a difficulty with the ministry, he would call them and say, no, what's the problem? But none of you, some of y'all, they don't remember. It's because in your narrow, biased point of view, you refuse to see it as if there's some new day in the Bahamas. You listen to man, ain't nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. What is new is your enlightenment about some things. And even under Ingram tenure, I agree that there are further developments that could have happened. But this was Hubert Ingram's administration who said, listen, no, you've got to take the heads of agreement and you've got to table them in the Parliament of the Bahamas. You see some of these fiscal, when did the mid-year budget review process come in? Under the tenure of Hubert Alexander Ingram, when Shivago Lang was Minister of State. Yes, sir. Many of these things you see happening in the Ministry of Finance started under our tenure, started under Mr. Christie's tenure. Some of them, those reforms. Right? So just because you are ignorant of these things doesn't mean that they don't exist. Just because you are ignorant of the black holes that exist in the outer space don't mean the black holes don't exist. What you should ask for is information so that you can be so enlightened. Okay? This text says, Mr. Lang, when Ali Butler was Speaker during the debate on the public disclosure bill, Ali was not in support of the bill, and he did something on Finley, prorogued at the House, I believe. I am not 100% sure on this. I know that there was a falling out with Sir Ali and the PLP for sure. The exact nature of it, I do not now know, but I'll see if I can get some information for you. This text says the official opposition should now exercise their duties to become more effective, with the Public Accounts Committee. Otherwise, we will suggest our opposition is very weak. It says we applaud our new independent speaker, House and Moultrie, for restoring the powers of the Public Accounts Committee. The Haymans must know how public funds are being spent and dispersed. We would like to know when the public and government schools will be equipped with COVID-19 protocols. Education is critical to our children's future, but we need to get the children back into the classrooms. Well, you need to listen to your minister because he was just on the news giving some information about it. This text says, in my view, the speaker is being spiteful, just as sometimes our prime minister displays a spiteful attitude also. But who thinks about how the speaker affects the people's parliament? Okie dokie. So, anyways, God bless the Speaker. God bless the Parliament. God bless the Bahamas. This text says, good afternoon, Z. Isn't change painful? You sounding shy of change. Sounding shy of change? We need to welcome this opportunity to change for the good of the Bahamas. Salute, Mr. Speaker. Mama, brother, you're talking to the wrong human being. Wrong human being. Please. when you show me the change, I'll welcome it. Show me the change. Show it to me. I don't practice deceiving myself. I find that offensive to myself. Not interested in being deceived by myself. Try to be enlightened about life. And I try not to fool myself or be fooled by other people. And so, I'm happy for change. Happy for change when it happens. But show me the change and I'll be happy. See if the change lasts after the next election. I mean, y'all, the problem is y'all take these things so personally. Not personal for me. So I want to share some information with you that you may not know. And this information has not been hidden. It's not secret. It's in the central bank's quarterly statistical digest, which you can get anytime you wish by going on the central bank's website and simply looking at its digest. And this digest in particular
is the central bank's more recent one. Let me give you the exact date of this particular digest. This one is the... Now, the central bank has two things, right? One, in their main publication, so if you go on the central bank's website, you'll see a section that says resources. I want to help you if you want to follow, see what to do. So you go on the central bank, so you can Google search Central Bank of the Bahamas. And once you do that, it will give you an option to click the central bank's website itself. When you get on the central bank's website, you want to go to an area called public, it's called resources. When you click that area, you'll see something called main publications. So you go to resources, and you will see on the left-hand side under publications, you'll see main publications, annual report, quarterly statistical digest, quarterly economic review, and other things. You want to click on the quarterly statistical digest, okay? So you want to click on the quarterly statistical digest, and I would have clicked on the quarterly statistical digest for November 30th. I think that's the more recent one. And once you click it, it will actually bring up that volume for you, volume 29, number 4. And you can then go and see a host of information that the central bank statistically has about the Bahamas by the numbers, about the bank, about what we borrow, about what we deposit, about what we, what our money supply is, and so forth, about tourism, about the government's finances, and so forth. You can get all of this information from the central bank. So that, for instance, if you go to table 2.13 on page 18 of this particular quarterly statistical digest, you will see something called total deposit by depositors. Total deposits by depositors. And the latest would be 2019, for instance, so that in 2019, you could know that at the end of 2019, the government of the Bahamas had total deposits of $221,133,000. How much money did your government have on deposit at the end of 2019, according to the central bank? $221,133,000. What about government public corporations, all the BPL and BEC and those collectively? They had on deposit $328,181,000. That was what, at the end of 2019, all the government corporations had collectively on deposit. So they had more on deposit, over $100 million more on deposit than did the government itself. What about public financial institutions? Like, I imagine the public financial institutions might be public corp and I don't know. BOB, I don't know, maybe. Anyway, they had $77,614,000 on deposit. What about private financial institutions? So these would be your banks and those kinds of people. What would they have had on deposit? They had $307,307,307,000, according to the central bank. Oh, so what? So listen, did you wonder how much the firms, the businesses in the Bahamas have on deposit? Anybody ever wonder? Does you want to know? Do you really want to know? Do you really? The firms, the business firms, at the end of 2019, according to the Central Bank of the Bahamas, had on deposit $2,421,219,000. Do you want me to say it again? Let me say it for you again. The businesses in the Bahamas The business funds, according to the Central Bank of the Bahamas Quarterly Statistical Digest, November 2020, had at the end of 2019, $2,421,219,000 on deposit. What about private individuals? These are residents of the Bahamas now, so that's how the Central Bank has it. How much did they have on deposit? Let me give you the number. The number they had on deposit was $3,639,118,000. Private individuals had more on deposit than businesses. Where the businesses had $2.4 billion on deposit, private individuals had $3.6 billion on deposit. And then the Central Bank has a category called other. And in that category, there were $342,922,000 on deposit. So that residents, so the government, public corporations, public financial institutions, private financial institutions, business firms, private individuals, and others, had total on deposit at the end of 2019, $7,727,494,000 on deposit in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. How much did the non-residents have? Listen to me now. Listen to me. I want you all to listen to me, please. At the end of 2019, sitting in deposit by all the residents of the Bahamas, all the government corporations, businesses, private individuals, and so forth, this is now, was $7.7 billion in this broke country. How much did the non-residents have? We like to talk with foreigners of what they got. The foreigners in total had $4.9 billion compared to $7.7 billion by the residents. So the foreigners had $4.9 billion compared to the $7.7 billion. The foreigners had $2+ billion less than the residents. Is I enlightening you today? Is you learning anything today? Is you discovering anything today? I'm finished yet, though. I'm not finished yet. Says, can you repeat Central Bank website and how to find it? Okay. Google search Central Bank of the Bahamas. When you Google search Central Bank of the Bahamas, it will tell you that this is a central bank. They'll give you options for clicking on the Central Bank's main website. Once you click on that, it should take you to the Bahamas, the Central Bank's website, which is centralbankbahamas.com. That's it. No dot, no capital, centralbankbahamas.com. When you go to that website, you can go to resources. When you go to resources, you can look for the publications, and you can go to the Quarterly Statistical Digest, okay? This text says, good day. Wow. What was it in 2020, please? Okay, I don't think we have the 2020 numbers because these numbers lag. Remember that the Central Bank has to collate these numbers. And so their last statistical digest is the November 2021, and the they go up to so as the, let me give you the latest. Thank you for asking that question, by the way. The latest according to this digest is for September 2020. So at the end of September 2020, the total amount of deposits by residents of the Bahamas, listen to me now, at the end of September 2020, 2020 was COVID year. At the end of September 2020, there was $7.8 billion on deposits here in the Bahamas. That's higher than the $7.7 billion at the end of 2019. At the end of September, right? There was 7.9 billion essentially, and 7.7 billion at the end of 2019. At the end of September, the foreigners had 5.4 billion on deposit compared to 4.9 billion in 2019. Residents of the Bahamas had 3.8 billion on deposit at the end of September 2020 compared to 3.6 billion in 2019. You tell me what you are hearing. The businesses had 2.6 billion on deposit compared to 2.4 billion on deposit in 2019. You tell me what you are hearing. Say, oh, wow, thanks. Yeah. Isn't that something? This text says, good afternoon, Minister Lang. Trust that all is well with you and your family. Do you have any idea or knowledge concerning when is the next general election, please? I'm heading May this year. I'm hearing May this year. I think that's May or before. I think that's not an unreasonable guess. I can't tell you when exactly it is because I haven't heard. Nobody's told me exactly when it is, so I'm not pretending to know. My suspicion and expectation is that it is May or earlier. That's my suspicion or expectation. Okay. So now you know Mr. Zondervan. I want you all, if you're listening to me today, I want you to text me back and tell me what you heard Chicago Lang say. The central bank said what the amount of money on deposit in the Bahamas as of September 2020. Tell me what you heard me say. What the number was. What's the national debt of the Bahamas? Reaching climbing to $10 billion. How much money is on deposit in the Bahamas as of September? $7.9 billion. That's what I said. Oh, boy. So, now, let's be clear. The residents, the non-residents, have a substantial portion of that money on deposit. Substantial portion. But residents of the Bahamas have a substantial portion of money. $3.79 billion as of September. I can't tell you who has it and who holding it, but you all who think the Bahamas broke, you all who think ain't no money in the Bahamas, listen to them numbers. Let me give you some other numbers now. All right, let me give you some other numbers. You can find lots of things broken down, but I'm going to give you these numbers. All right. So let's look at distribution of credit. That's loans. That's borrowing. That's how much money we borrow. Let's look at that number. Let's look at that number at the end of 2019. The construction sector, as at the end of 2019, had borrowed $306,993,000. That's the construction sector. $306,993,000. So every time you see these construction firms, these firms, and you say, oh, these people, everybody loaded, everybody got money, etc. Yeah, they may have some money, but the borrowing, $306,993,000. That's how much they borrowed, the construction sector. Government, how much did the government borrow as at the end of 2019? $688,797,000 as at the end of 2019, the government had borrowed. What about the rest of the public sector? The rest of the public sector, that's all the corporations and them, had borrowed $206,638,000. What about private financial institutions? Listen to me. I want y'all to listen to me, please. Government borrowed $688 million. Construction borrowed $306 million. Rest of the public sector, $206 million. You know how much the private financial institutions borrowed at the end of 2019? $25 million. Well, why not? They're the ones doing the lending. What about professional and other services? How much did they borrow? Let's say accounting firms, law firms, and those firms. How much did they borrow? $59 million they borrowed. What about the personal borrowings? That's me and you individually. How much do you think that was? You want to hear it? How much did individuals borrow as at the end of 2019, the credit level in all currencies was $4,943,369,000. We talk about the government borrowing. We talk about the government borrowing all the time. But private individuals, personal borrowings in the Bahamas, $4,943,369,000. Miscellaneous was $97 million. You know what the total was? $6,761,019, according to the central bank, as at the end of 2019. What is it? What was it at the end of September? At the end of September 2020, the government had borrowed $306 million. No, sorry, the construction had borrowed $306 million. The government, $872 million as at the end of September 2020. The rest of the public sector, $156 million. The banks, the private financial institutions, $26 million, same small number. Professionals had borrowed $62 million. That's up from the $59 million. And individuals had borrowed $4,924,444. That is slightly less than it was at the end of December 2019, for a total of $6,837,000,000. Now, what I wanted to say to you is, all of the government, the national debt, is about rising to $10 billion. And all of the private debt is about, all of the private debt amounts to about $5+ billion. So you add them two together, you're talking about $15 billion in debt owed by the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We, us, all of us. On a per capita basis, I don't mean all of us on it, but that's going to give you an idea on a per capita basis what that amounts to. That amounts to $15 billion divided by 389,000. That amounts to $38,560 per person. Right? That's the per capita debt. $38,560. Now, that is about, that's about just about as much as our per capita income in the country. Right? Now, what I'm saying is not to look at that number and say, oh my God. That number is what it is today. Whatever decisions we made for it to, those numbers to come to those numbers have already been made. No one can go back. You could cuss, you could complain, you could criticize yourself, criticize the government, criticize the construction companies and everybody. That don't have nothing. Here's what is true. That debt is an overhang that is likely to last for decades. It has been building for decades. And it is part and parcel of why we feel as strained as we feel. Because if your income has been stagnant, essentially, since 2003, but your debt has been rising, meaning you've been augmenting your quality of life by borrowing from your future, all of this $6.8 billion has to be paid back through future earnings. So, in other words, let's say over the life of your these debts, you earn $10 billion. Well, the fact of the matter is the $10 billion will not benefit us as greatly, because we would have to take at least $7 billion of it and pay back the debt that we owe. And chances are we'll be making new debt, making that number even higher.
Does you see the dilemma that we are confronted with? Do you see it? Okay, because it is a picture of the circumstances that we find ourselves in the face of an economy that doesn't have a robust trajectory. When you see the IMF, when you see the IDB, when you see the Standard & Poor's and Moody's and these kinds of people, take a look at your overall balance sheet. Take a look at your overall income statement and see the level of indebtedness you have and the obligations you have. What they know right away is when you take in a dollar, X percent of that dollar is going to debt, meaning you won't have that to plow into investment, and therefore you are going to be restricted in your economic growth prospects. They are the numbers. And while you like to cuss the government, I want you to look at our numbers, my number, your number, $4.9 billion at the end of September. That's the number. We have some text here. Let me read the text. Just thank you, sir. As usual, great show. Thank you. Appreciate it. This text says, can you repeat? Say $7.9 billion. Wait, is that a question? That's what I said, $7.9 billion. Is that a question? I don't know, I can't take a voice message right now. The text says, I heard 7,000 plus people have a $1 million in the bank, or 3,500 have 2 million, or 1,750 have 3 million. That may be impressive to you, but to me, that needs to be tens, hundreds of thousands of people, and that's the mission of the new aim in pushing towards. Listen to me, man. You got me. Listen to me. You and me mixed up. Because me and you are in the same. Because frankly, I would take a net $100, $200, $500 in the bank any single day over a month, over time, than none. So I don't know what will impress you. You go ahead and do what you have to do. You do what you have to do. I don't know why you're talking to me and keep telling me and bragging to me about all this stuff. Go get your independent candidate elected. And then come talk to me afterwards. Because I bet you I don't hear from you after the next election. I bet you. I'm sitting on an airplane heading to Florida, DNA candidate. I honestly didn't know he was a DNA candidate at the time. I knew from his wristband that he was a DNA supporter. But he was telling me about how people were tired of the two parties and how the DNA was primed to get seats and all that kind of stuff. And I said, my brother, the DNA would not get AC or a deposit back in the next election. That's why I said to him, he was offended that I would say such a thing. Well, you know what happened. And after I saw him one day, he shook his head. He said, boy, you told me. Some of y'all do like people just have no experience in the country. You do like we just talk because in your mind you have fashioned this very stupid notion that some of us are old guard. We just belong to the establishment. We don't know what the heck is going on. And the new this, and the new that, and the new everything. I mean, just with great ignorance, you say it. Let me tell you something. If Hubert Alexander Ingram says something to me today, I'm going to listen to it. I don't believe everything he says just because he says it, but if he says something to me, I'm going to listen to it. If Perry Christie says something to me in politics today, I'm going to listen to it because he's been around. I know these men have been around. They know some things, and that's why I'm guided by them. I can't tell you how many friends I have had come back to me and say, listen, boy, like, I see what you were saying. So you carry right on, my friend. Carry right on. But you know, you carry right on because your track record in the political realm is stellar. So please carry on. I'll talk to you after the next election. It says, Mr. Lang, please don't be disturbed. You're teaching us. I know. But this individual, I'm only putting it on him a little bit. But he quitted me. He's putting it on him a little bit.
So regarding the election, if resignation, if registration just really started, can the parliamentary department have everything ready for May 3rd, months away? Yeah, of course. Of course. They're running on the old register. If you ain't registered, that's your too bad. Do that. The government could do that to you. They could do that to you. That's why if you could go register today, go register. You mean someone called an election and there's certain minimum parameters they have to meet. They have the opportunity to meet those parameters today. And how many times has the register closed and some people missed the register? How many times that happened? It happens over and over again. They don't have to get everybody on the register. When the register closed, it closed. So will the color of our voter's card change when we go to transfer to another constituency? I don't know, but typically you have different color voter's card for different constituencies, so it's very likely. But I can't say what they actually do. Because it is alleged that the participants of this upcoming election are BDM, KGM, DNA, BCP, FNM, and PLP parties, and 20 independent candidates, including Leslie Miller, in Doyle Pines. What an interesting showcase of the electorate. All of that is going to do is ensure that there is likely to be a very skewed outcome for the FNM or the PLP. I could tell you who I think the outcome would be for, but I'm getting into that today. We are going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. I've been putting the numbers to you. I hope that you are hearing me. I hope that you are seeing me. I hope that you are understanding. I'll be back after this break.
This road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Basketball is back, baby, and so is NBA League Pass, only with Rev Trio. Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free, along with incredible prizes, including a brand new 50-inch smart TV, NBA gear, and more.
With tons of prizes and gear, signing up for Trio is the best on- and off-court move this year. Just call 601-8992 or visit www.rev.bs/promotions/trio.
Sign up for Rev Trio today and enjoy NBA League Pass absolutely free.
Do you have paper investments like stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, but are unsure if you're reaching your highest earning potential? Get your investment portfolio assessed by an experienced RF investment specialist. You'll get expert investment guidance at absolutely no cost, even if you're not an RF client. Plus, find out how you can take advantage of some of the best performing mutual funds in the market. What are you waiting for? Claim your free confidential portfolio analysis today by emailing invest@rfmutual.com. RF. Money at work.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers across New Providence, including North, Central, Eastern, and Southern New Providence, that due to an emergency leak repair at the Hydro Tower scheduled to commence at 12:45 p.m. today, customers may experience no water for a one-hour duration. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
I ain't mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
When King Hatchet was a hammer, customs clearance was a drag. Those numbers and forms left you holding the bag. But today is a new day. There's no need to fear. Start clearing customs digitally with SWIM software. The best customs clearance software by ISL Bahamas Limited. It's easy. Just give SWIM your invoices and it automatically calculates landed fees, assigns tariffs, and transmits accurately to customs in seconds. Now, completing air manifests and cargo calculations in half the time is as fun as a day at the beach. Brokers, importers, shippers, couriers, are you drowning in an ocean of customs clearance mayhem? Relax and dive into SWIM.
Call 356-5592 or visit ISLBahamas.com to start saving time and money with Swim, the stress-free click-to-clear software.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming. What do? We swim, swim, swim.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let you know that you're not alone, holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, where we have been talking some numbers to you, credit loan debt numbers to you, that I hope can give you some insight into the overhang, the anchor, the realities of the burdens that are upon us, that we have put on ourselves in the wake of an economy that is performing less than stellarly, has performed less than stellarly for the past couple of decades, and has a challenge finding any kind of real buoyancy even into the foreseeable future. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. Or 325-4316, or 325-4259. This text says, Mr. Lang, I will pay you to teach me to read the central bank report. Wow, never knew this report exists. But listen to me. Don't listen to me. God spares my life when I am done this year on this show, you will be a different Bahamian. You'll be a much more informed Bahamian. You will have I believe a new sense of empowerment, because your understanding about the dynamics of your country, your economy will be different, and your understanding about the politics and how it interacts with your own personal well-being will be different. How your economic structure interacts with your personal fortunes will be more enlightened. You will have more clarity about this country in which you live, so that you don't live under any delusion. But you live under greater insight as to how best to maneuver into the future. Now, I want to be honest with you. Many of us, depending on our ages, especially if we are 50 years or older, may be able to change our trajectory marginally. We may be able to, some of us may be able to do it substantially, but most of us, it'll be marginally. But you know who can benefit if we take this enlightenment and clarity seriously? Our children. Our children, by virtue of what we do and how we guide them, may be able to change the trajectory of the Bahamas over the course of the next generation. And that will be a benefit that you and I can celebrate. We might not be around, but we should celebrate that enlightenment. And this is part of our challenge, is that we don't see ourselves in the long game. We think that it only matters if it matters to me right now. But that isn't how the Chinese think. That isn't how some of the most progressive societies in human history have ever thought. Even some of the African, great African societies, they have always had a long game. They have sought to say that I can live eternally if I can ensure that generations after me are living well. And that's how you get to live eternally in this realm, is by ensuring that there is a legacy in your personage. That's how come we have children. So I have decided, I have given my own self another 80, 100 years of life, because I have four children. And by having four children, I've improved the probabilities that my genes will endure in this country. And my father, my father's father, my father's father, my father's father's father, all of them are living longer now through me, because they have extended their genes to me. But beyond that, I'm now extending to my children some knowledge and some assets
that I hope will take them into their generation, and then they can pass that on to their generation. That is playing the long game. So I may not get to see a less indebted Bahamas. I may not get to see a less, a more prosperous Bahamas. But if I do my job, my children will see a less indebted them and a less indebted Bahamas through them, and a more prosperous Bahamas through them. And so we have to play the long game. Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. All right? Don't just think about your right now. There is a way to push this relay forward. And that's why I want to give you the enlightenment that I'm seeking to give you. Let me give you some other information. Central Bank Table 2.23 is a summary of consumer installment credit in the domestic banks, right? Installment credit means you're paying them on the regular, monthly or so forth, right? If you have it quarterly, but you're paying regular payment. So what was the outstanding debt on the consumer installment credit side at the end of 2019? It was $2.2 billion. $2.2 billion. How much of that was repayment? How much of that was repayment? And how much was the repayment in 2019? $2.16 billion. $2.16 billion was the repayment, right? So that's interest and principal. And that was how much new credit? New credit in 2019 was generated $2.2 billion. $2.2 billion. How much was the number of loans past due of the total? I mean, there was a total of 6,654 past due, and that represented a value of $113 million in past due amount. What was it at the end of 2020, September? The outstanding debt was $2.2 billion, pretty much the same. The repayments in September was $222 million. So if you annualize that, you would have had the same basic $2.2 billion. And then you had basically the same scenario playing itself out with respect to all the other numbers. Where is that its consumer installment according to the central bank? You want to know where the money is? Private cars, $135,786,000 in consumer credit, installment credit. Taxis and rented cars, $1,028,000. Commercial vehicles, $1,156,000. Furnishings and domestic appliances, $9,246,000. $1,000. Travel, $65,000.37. Education, $39,976,000. Medical, $11,873,000. Home improvement, $101,255,000. Land purchase, $131,400,000. Consolidation of debt, $908,422,000. Miscellaneous, $530,172,000. Credit cards, $272,999,000 for a total of $2,208,350,000. Let me read the balance of your text before we run out of time. We have a call on the line, sorry. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, sir. Good day, sir. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, you know, would I be correct to say that we're living in an information age?
Well, there's people who say that.
But I think every age has been an information age. But go ahead. There's an expression of that.
Meaning that information is readily available.
Well, information exists, data exists, but and lots of information exists, but it is accessible, but it is under access.
So, in other words, it is up to the individual to go out there and acquire this information.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. Yes.
All right. So actually,
now, let me say this. There is a challenge, though, because to some degree, some of us, our education does make it possible to make more sense of the information than other people. So you have to also educate yourself to be able to make sense of the information.
But the education, access to the dictionary, access to vocabulary, it's right there as well. It's readily available right there, too. It's right at our fingertips. So all it takes is some effort.
You are right that a great deal of it is that. Some of it is a little bit more than just vocabulary and dictionary, I'm sorry. But you are right. That can be helpful.
Okay. And then to say that, with that being said, so I feel that it is not merely the information that one can impart, but the integrity of that person, you see? So what we lack in this country is integrity, not knowledge. We lack in the integrity of those.
Why does the integrity matter? If I say to somebody that the central bank says that there is $19 million in installment credit for education, what does that have to do with integrity? That's the information.
What I'm saying is the problem is not us having the information that we need. Right, it's important. The issue is, and the people that we trust our finances to our decisions, they lack.
No, but you're wrong, because it isn't only a matter of who I entrust my finances to, because the fact of the matter is I only entrust my taxes to the government. The balance of my money I entrust to myself. And how I manage that is a matter of education sometimes, my own understanding of life.
You see, we have, okay, you say, let's look at a nation like India, right?
Okay, I got just a couple of minutes left, and I do want to read a couple of notes, and so I can't get into this too long. Okay, sorry about that. If Texas, Mr. Lang, please stop, no more. Mind your info turns too much of the talking points on its head. Wow, it simply shows how a lot of persons call into these shows spewing nonsense. There's PLP are holding and not spending. People are holding and not spending, possibly. There's this text says these folks from the independent movements are only grandstanding and promising pipe dreams. This text says, good day, this is an excellent case for income tax. They better not think of going up on VAT. Without income tax, these politicians are too duplicitous. This text says, now you see why so much Bahamians taking their future finances on a every something wealth fund because they are maxed out from the poor decisions and is now looking for government to bail them out. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Mr. Murtry has done a disservice to the FNM. He only did what he did because they were not going to nominate him anymore. Keep the good works up.
Okie dokie. Well, folks, my point to you today is that you want to try and understand the dynamics of your collective circumstance, your individual circumstance, and to get as much information as you can to get that understanding. And as we move on, I'm going to give you some more insights and understanding into state techniques, ways, things that you can do to change the trajectory of your personal and collective circumstances. Based on my understanding, based on the understanding I get from others, etc., we are all on this journey together. And the Commonwealth of the Bahamas has a journey to be on together.
I one of my hopes is that the leadership of this country will embrace a dream for the country that can inspire the resolve of our people. And then take, let us together go on a journey to realize that dream. We have to do it together. We can't just be about the business of criticizing, fighting, and blaming. We have to be on the learning journey. We have to be on the doing journey. And we have to be on the achieving journey. And I think that we can do that. We can do it together. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I trust enough you have a great evening. Now, Naja Black is up next. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my walk this road together through the storm.